This is Sunday morning. This is March the 25th, 2018. And we're going to talk on a subject that I've been studying on for some months now. And I just decided, you know, I'm not going to teach it until the Holy Spirit says it's time to teach it. Well, now He says it's time to teach it. And I want you to understand this is not Ripley's Believe It or Not. This is not Ripley's Believe It or Not. These are truths from the Word of God. And the title of this is The Biggest Lie on Earth. I spent a lot of time studying. Since I don't really have a way to present slides or anything like that, I've got as much material as I can to share with you as we go along through the scriptures and everything. Okay, there is coming soon the uncovering of many good things to the people of the earth. Inventions, technology like you've never seen before. Some will be Holy Ghost inspired and some will not. I believe these have been held back. They've been held back from the people of the United States, things that maybe even our government thinks, discoveries, health cures, different things. This has been really foretold. A lot of prophets throughout the body of Christ have gotten on that, and they sense that too, that it's going to be things that maybe even go back 70 years, some 30, 40 years, that could have been given to the American people to help them, but they held it back from them. Many have perished because of it. Okay, some will be by the Holy Ghost inspired and some will not. There's also coming a strong delusion. My church must walk in the Spirit to not be deceived. And so we're going to look at some scriptures here. The second one is 2 Thessalonians 2. I touched on this a little bit. You know, I told you I wasn't prepared to go into it, but I kind of the Holy Spirit kind of quickened to me to kind of talk to you just a little bit about it last time, I think it was. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I asked you, have an open mind. Don't shut anything off. Just let the Holy Spirit quicken to you. I know what I know in my heart, but you know, the Word of God has to be the one to convince you also. Not me. I'm here to relay the message. I'm the waitress. I serve the Lord's food. That's what I do. A lot of people may not like the packaging it's in, but the point is, God tells me what to bring, and I have to bring it, whether I like it or don't like it. And this is kind of new ground for me. It's not something that's real just flows with me because it's kind of new. You know, I'm having to have learned. It's kind of like when I first learned how to walk by faith. I didn't know what I know now. But over the years of studying it and everything, you know, you learn some things. Holy Spirit reveals to you. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. But relative to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we beg you, brethren, not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled or disturbed or kept excited or alarmed, whether it be by some revelation of spirit or by word or by letter from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has arrived and is here. Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way. That means if somebody comes and you hear it announced, that they say, Jesus has already come, He's over here. What he's saying here. Let no one deceive you or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come. I believe this delusion that's coming is the very thing that will do this. It'll cause Christians that have believed one thing all their life and followed God say, we got it wrong, and they'll change their allegiance. And the man of lawlessness, sin is revealed, who is the son of doom, of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and insolently against and over all that is called God or that is worshipped, even to his actually taking his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Now, I don't really believe we're just quite to this place yet. I mean, it doesn't fit into the timeline. People say, well, it's just any minute. No, it's not. There's some series of events have to happen before this can happen. But what does God do? He warns us ahead of time. Do you not recollect that when I was still with you, I told you these things? If Paul thought it was necessary to warn them in his day, how much more so in our day? And now you know what is restraining him from being revealed at this time. It is so that he may be manifested, revealed in his own appointed time. Now, I've talked to you about, I believe with all my heart, I believe Mark Taylor got it right on the money when he said, God has stopped Satan's timeline. And the reason you hear so many prophets saying, oh, it's just any minute, is because they're not rightly discerning the times. God has said, he'll come forth. I'm restraining him. I believe it's Michael the Archangel. He's the warrior over Israel and over the church. He is the restraining force right now, keeping the Antichrist back, because you can see they're pushing with all their might to get in their place. But they're before God's time. God said, it'll happen in my time, not the devil's time. But they're pushing it. They're pushing it big time. But what's the restraining thing? They can't come forth till God says it's the time. So that tells me there's hope for us to turn things around and maybe things not happen like that. Okay. And okay, 7. For the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority, is already at work in the world. We see that. The people in the shadow government and the Illuminati and the New World Order around the world, their thought is, order out of chaos. There ain't no such thing. Their order out of chaos is just key off, and then we'll just control you. That's their that's their agenda. That's Satan's agenda. Kill, steal, destroy. Okay? It's already at work in the world, but it is restrained only until he who restrains is taken out of the way. So that restraining force, Daniel chapter 12:1 talks about Michael, the restraining force. And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed. And the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by his appearing at his coming. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is through the activity and working of Satan and will be attended by great power and all sorts of pretended miracles and signs and delusions and marvels. Now, I want you to understand this. I told you these technologies and things that are coming forth. It may be some of it of God and some of it may not be of God. And by unlimited seduction to evil with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, going to perdition because they did not welcome the truth but refused to love it that they might be saved. Therefore God sends upon them. Well, really, that I think that's mistranslated. It really means he permits, you know. He doesn't send evil. He permits man to go his own way. Therefore God sends upon them a misleading influence, a working of error, and a strong delusion to make them believe what is false. It's kind of like in the Old Testament where it said God sent a spirit into their prophets' mouths that they would speak the wrong thing to sabotage them. Which it wasn't. It was an evil spirit. It wasn't God, really. In order that all may be judged and condemned who did not believe, who refused to adhere to, trust, and rely on the truth, but instead took pleasure in unrighteousness. But we, brethren, beloved by the Lord, ought and are obligated as those who are in debt to give thanks always to God for you, because God chose you from the beginning as his first fruits, first converts, first salvation, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, and your belief and adherence to it, trust in and reliance on the truth. Okay, let me see where I put here to stop on that. I've already read all I need to read there. Okay, what I want you to see today, the biggest lie on earth, there's things that we've been deceived about. We've been propagandized from the time we could even probably walk or talk to believe certain things. And then when we started in school, believe certain things and think it's gospel because, oh, you know, they taught us that in school. And so my thing is, I said, Lord, I want to know what the Bible has to say. I want to know everything that you have to say about everything. That's what I want to believe, because we know our system cannot be trusted. Okay, Proverbs 18:13. This may take a couple of weeks. Next week we'll have visitors, so we'll probably postpone this and pick up with it after Easter. But I don't want to rush this. I'm going to take my time. It may take 3 weeks. We'll just see. But this is what the Lord wants, and this is what the Lord gets. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 18:13. He who answers a matter before he hears the facts, it is folly and shame to him. So the Lord wants us to consider. Don't be so quick to say, I don't believe that. Hear the word of God. Search the matter out for yourself. I challenge you today. That's what all this stuff is out here. Even any people that I have heard, I've searched it out for myself. Because I said, Lord, if it's in your word, we need to hear it. Every word of God is full of power. And so whatever the word of God says about whatever subject, if the world's saying it's just the opposite, I want to know it. Okay. All right, Romans 3:4. By no means let God be found true, though every human being is false and a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified and shown to be upright in what you say and prevail when you are judged by sinful men. Okay, now flip back to Proverbs again. This is Proverbs 21:30. Like I said, I've got a lot of scriptures. Scripture interprets scripture. Isn't that what, isn't that hermeneutics? Scripture interprets scripture. Yeah. 21:30. There is no human wisdom or understanding or counsel that can prevail against the Lord. Okay. Now, I was going to bring up Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley was the founder of the Satanist Church back in 18-something. And he actually had an encounter with an alien. And this creature called himself Lamb, L-A-M. And Lamb looked like what you see, the melon head, big eyes, you know, awful looking thing. This is what he saw. The believers that fall into this deception will be put their allegiance to the world church, thinking it's the right path, which will lead them to the mark of the beast and to the pit. Now, I'm going to show you some stuff that I have on the Vatican and their beliefs about this. They are very, very much into watching for aliens. I even saw a video posted, I didn't watch it, that the Pope says that really the Christ is actually one of these beings from another world that actually... Now, there's some really nutballs out there that are going to believe this stuff. And I think a lot of Christians will too. What have we been propagandized to believe? I got to think about Star Trek. I mean, I grew up on Star Trek and all of this stupid things about all these other worlds and all this stuff. I mean, it's just like whenever it came, the television came out in 1955, like in the movie Back to the Future, what's the first program they ever saw? Jackie Gleason was the man from space. Are they trying to set an agenda to set people up for something? Are they trying to pull a fast one on us? Oh no, not our government. Not our country. See, this is where the delusion comes in, to believe that, well, you know, land of the free, the home of the brave. No, there's been an agenda for a long time. If Satan is alive, you know there's an agenda. I don't care what culture you're in, it is alive. It's like, what is the one where all these things, spaceships just show up and they just surround your whole city and town and everything? You know, just these weird things. I know when I first got born again, or really spirit-filled, we were living there in Kermit, there was a big deal about people having alien encounters, and they'd put them under hypnosis and they would tell all these tall tales about what had happened. I remember thinking, yeah, I bet there's life on other planets. I didn't know any difference, you know, then. Didn't have any. But it was a really big thing. I can remember reading these articles in magazines. Well, who are they trying to convince? Okay. All right, let's keep going. Revelation 13. Let me read that again. It says, the believers that fall into this deception will be putting their allegiance to the world church, thinking it's the right path, which will lead them to the mark of the beast and then to the pit. Okay, we're going to read. This is Revelation 13. You know, if you look like E.T., even E.T., when he cut his finger, E.T. could heal it. And when E.T. flew off in his spaceship, there was a rainbow. Whew. Whose allegiance are they trying to get us to switch to? Okay. Revelation 13:11. This is not the Twilight Zone today or the Outer Limits. This is the truth. Okay. Revelation 13:11. Then I saw another beast rising out of the land itself. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke, roared like a dragon. So he's going to look like Jesus, but when he speaks, you're going to see the dragon. He exerts all the power and right of control of the former beast in his presence, talking about the Antichrist, and causes the earth and those who dwell upon it to exalt and deify the first beast whose deadly wound was healed and to worship him. He performs great, startling miracles, even making fire fall from the sky to the earth in men's sight. Quite a display. People are going to go, wow, he's come, he's here. And because of the signs, miracles, which he is allowed to perform in the presence of the first beast, he deceives those who inhabit the earth, commanding them to erect a statue, an image, in the likeness of the beast who was wounded by the small sword and still lived. And he permitted also to import the breath of life into the beast's image so that the statue of the beast could actually talk and cause to be put to death those who would not bow down and worship the image of the beast. Whether this is artificial intelligence, I don't know. Is it? It could be. I don't know how. But life comes into the beast. It says, the statue, isn't that what they do with artificial intelligence? They're putting it into bots and things to do things. And he compels all alike, both small and great, both the rich and the poor, both free and slave, to mark with an inscription stamped on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that no one will have power to buy or sell unless he bears the stamp, mark, inscription, that is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is room for discernment, a call for the wisdom of interpretation. Let anyone who has intelligence, penetration, and insight enough calculate the number of the beast, for it is a human number, the number of a certain man. His number is 666. Now the next passage in 14 talks about the sealing of the church right there. And so we won't get in that today. So, you know, we don't have to be afraid, but we just have to be aware. We have to be aware. Here's what the deception will be, I believe. The agenda is to turn people from God. I believe personally, and could be wrong about this, but I believe it's the alien deception, or they call it the alien disclosure. And let's look a few scriptures first, and then I may show y'all some stuff. 1 Corinthians 3:18. No, a lot of people may think, this isn't revelant. Why are you teaching this kind of garbage? Because people are going to be deceived. That's why. People need to know the truth. That's why. Let no person deceive himself. If anyone among you supposes that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool. Let him discard his worldly discernment and recognize himself as dull, stupid, and foolish without true learning and scholarship, that he may become really wise. For this world's wisdom is foolishness, absurdity, and stupidity with God. For it is written, he lays hold of the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts and reasonings of the humanly wise and recognizes how futile they are. So this world is full of men of wisdom, experts, giving all kinds of advice. And it's, as far as God is concerned, it's futile. But many people listen to him. Many people follow him. Many people are deceived by him. So that no one exalt proudly concerning men, boasting of having this or that man as a leader, for all things are yours. The one we should be boasting in is the Lord, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, not in any leader or any man. My prayer is that the godly council around President Trump will impart to him the truth about certain issues, that God will give them the wisdom of Daniel to impart to him the truth about aliens. Okay. In Webster's dictionary, I looked up demon. It means genius. They know things. Demons know things. Familiar spirits. They know things. How did they cause man's fall? They knew some things. They tricked and deceived Eve in their knowledge. Okay, think about that. Let that sink in. They know things. Paul was concerned about the church, that just as the serpent beguiled Eve, that he would defile and seduce you also. Okay. She was beguiled. 2 Corinthians 11:3. That's she just didn't know. Now Dumbo over there, Adam, he sat and watched the whole thing. Walked right in it, eyes wide open. She was actually deceived. She actually didn't know. It says God told Adam about the tree. I don't know if she really knew, but she was seduced. But he just followed her right on in it. Well, okay, 2 Corinthians 11:3. But now I am fearful lest that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced from wholehearted and sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For you readily, this kind of tells you right here, for you seem ready to endure it if a man comes and preaches another Jesus than the one we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you once received, or a different gospel from the one who then received and welcomed you, tolerate it all that well enough. In other words, it's like people just believe any kind of garbage that comes down the line. But when a preacher gets up there and starts imparting the truth, they say, oh, you're a nut. I mean, Jesus had trouble with that in his day. They'd rather believe the silliness of men, okay? That's what concerned Paul, even in his day. And I'm thinking, man, what'd they have to be concerned about? They didn't have all the stuff we have to deal with today, you know? Okay. All right, beguiled means to be seduced. All right. In Genesis 6, 1 through 4, it talks about, well, let's just go there since we won't just have to guess. We can just look at it for ourselves. Now, I have a study on the Nephilim, and I'm not done with it, so I'll just touch on that today, and then after I get through this, we'll probably pick up with that. I went into some detail about that, study on that. Okay, this is Genesis 6, 1 through 4. It says, when men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took wives of all they desired. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not forever dwell and strive with man, for he also is flesh, but his day shall yet be 120 years. Okay. And there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God lived with the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, they were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Because of this that was going on here. Now, I know we think it's because of homosexuality, and yes, I know it was going on because I think that opened the door to this. It says, because of this great wickedness, the sons of God, mating with earth women, the giants, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. So what was happening? Because of what God said, to the man in the garden, the woman, about the enmity between the man and the woman, he sought to pollute the bloodline. Jesus was coming through a pure bloodline. So what happened? These fallen angels mated, or some people say these sons of God. I heard someone say this. I don't know. I don't have any scripture to really back it up, but I'll just throw it out there that these sons of God were actually, especially if people that read the book of Enoch, which I don't, that these were actually, they're higher than the angels and they can procreate. They were some higher form of angelic type being, but they had more than just the angels, normal angels that God has. So if that's true or not, I don't know. You know, search it out for yourself. But the point is, he wanted to sabotage. Like now, they're, even now you see this manifested with genetic tampering, with genetics, trying to go in and if somebody's having a baby, they can go in and genetically change the child's sex and do this weird stuff, this stuff that never, artificial intelligence too, it all is kind of, I mean, in that way with homosexuality, it's like God made it a certain way and they're going against everything that's, see, this is what was going on in Noah's day. And he said, so shall it be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man. Shall it be in the day that he does come, this kind of stuff is going to be happening again. Whether they're already here, I don't know. I looked at some things where all over this earth, there's a man that's got a book out, and he has documented hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pictures of these giants that they've dug up, bones. And this is not just in a USA. It was said that President Lincoln made the statement that he was looking at Niagara Falls, and he said that back in the 1900s, they were digging up all these giant bones in America. Some of them 13 foot tall, some of them bigger than that. Huge skulls, said their teeth had to be the size of walnuts. That's how big. Some of them had two sets of teeth. The window descriptions in the Bible about the Nephilim, you know, they say Goliath is probably around 13 foot tall. So you think, good night, these things have been around. Where'd they come from? That's where they came from. So we cannot deny that these things have been in the earth. How long they've been buried there, I don't know. But there is archaeological evidence all over the planet of all of this stuff. To me, it just documents what God said in His Word is true about the Nephilim. Okay? Okay, Satan's offspring. Evidently, these angels could pass their seed on. Okay, I told you we'll get on that at another time. This one, there's a video. I don't know if you've ever watched it, but you might want to go watch it. It's called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. Ever seen it? I've seen parts of it. What it is doing, it is showing the fallacy of proving that the moon walk was actually a staged event. Part of it was in a studio, and part of it was, I think, in an airplane, them doing all of this. So you might want to go check that out. The moon landing deception. Okay? The NASA in Hebrew is really N-A-S-H-A, but it means deception. You know, if they would lie to us about that, what else are they lying to us about? What else is being hidden from the public and we don't know? We're finding out, and we're fixing to find out as the swamp is drained, just how much has been hidden from us and whose agenda is being followed concerning our country and the countries of the world, okay? The Deception Agency has been setting up the deception for many years. Did you know that let me show you a picture here. This is pictures, I couldn't get one big enough, but these are all the earth and it's at different times. Okay, I'll give it to you in a minute. 1975, 2007, 2013, 2012, 2002, they're all different. This is all the earth. NASA will admit themselves that most of their drawings and most of the planets and all the things you see, because if you get a telescope and you look at what they're telling you to look at, all you see is light. You don't see. They will tell you that most of their photos are artist renditions. I even heard this guy admitting that he was the one that made the blue marble. They call it the blue marble. That's what you see. That's what NASA shows you. That's our Earth. Show it to him. They leave it, even admit these are artist renditions. When you see how beautiful and perfect it is. I even have a telescope. I thought, good, I'm going to get to see the planets. They're going to say, pretty, yeah. Check it out for yourself. The blue marble. See, it's even a different color, different shades. All right, let's look at some scriptures. This is Job. Let's get our attention back on. You might want to. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to. Thank you. I don't want to go past the Van Allen radiation belt here. Okay. Job 5. A lot of people think that even the radiation belt is not even the truth, that actually what they can't get past is the firmament, plain and simple. Yeah. That's just what they tell their astronauts, or astronauts in OTS. Or nuts and astronauts. Okay, Job chapter 5, verse 13. He catches the so-called wise in their own trickiness, and the counsel of the schemers is brought to a quick end. In the daytime they meet in darkness, and at noon they grope as in the night. And God saves the fatherless from the sword of their mouth and the needy from the hand of the mighty. So he's talking about these guys, they're in their back rooms, their secret meetings, plotting and scheming, how to deceive. But God will rescue. He is rescuing us, okay? The propaganda machine, Hollywood, the mainstream media, has set the stage. They have sought to beguile and lead us as sheep to the slaughter. Think about it. I was thinking about Starman with Jeff Bridges. Isn't that Nephilim, if anything was Nephilim? Here he is an alien, and he gets some way a hold of her dead husband's DNA, and they have sex, and she gets pregnant. What does that sound like to you? The Nephilim, doesn't it? Yeah. I could think, you go back and I'm just, it's like these things are cropping up, these things I've seen in the past. I'm thinking, yeah, Lord, I see that now. I didn't see it at the time. But as I was studying all this, things would just come up. Remember that? Yeah, I remember that, Lord. It was a seed planted. See, that's what propaganda does. It's building strongholds. And you think, why is this relevant? Because these are strongholds. They've been built in our minds and not even realizing it. Okay, I believe the false prophet is the last pope. I want to show you a picture here. Find it. This is Mount Graham. This is in Mount Graham, Arizona, right here. This is Lucifer. This is the Vatican's observatory, and this is their telescope, Lucifer. And this is what they're looking for, extraterrestrials. You're thinking, why would the Vatican, it's a false prophet. NASA in Hebrew means to deceive. Let's see if there's anything else in here. Okay, we'll just keep that right here for now. Okay. Okay, let's keep going. I think I've got another one. Just a second. I had so much stuff that I was trying to get ready for this. This just shows pictures of the... Okay, this is just... People are... it's a post after the comments on this. It says, why does the Vatican have its own observatory? And why do Jesuit astronomers believe that aliens can be our friends? When Galileo proclaimed that the Earth orbits the Sun, the Pope put him under house arrest for spreading an idea contrary to Catholic dogma. A later Pope tried to heal this rift between science and theology by directing the construction of an observatory within the Vatican. Today, the Vatican Observatory is staffed by Jesuit astronomers. Now, we've already talked about the Jesuits and their agenda. One of their missions is to search for evidence of extraterrestrial life. They believe the words of a Catholic saint suggest that extraterrestrials can become our friends. Who is this saint? And what did he say about peaceful coexistence between humans and extraterrestrials? It goes on, you can go, I didn't go to that article to read that. But I mean, these people are taking this stuff serious. They really believe. And it's being pushed, like I was talking with Jackie about it. If you go on YouTube, all this stuff pops up, all this UFO, I mean, I don't listen to them, I'm not going to listen to them, but all this stuff, it's just about aliens getting ready for the landings. I thought, what? I mean, this is weird. I'm going, see, they're trying to promote an idea. They want enough suckers to embrace it. Okay. We did not go to the moon. We can't. We didn't go to the moon. We can't. We're going to look at that in Scripture. All right, now let's go to Romans chapter 1. There may be some other pictures, but I've got so much over there, it's not coming to me right now. This is Romans 1:19. For that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner consciousness, because God himself has shown it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been more intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made his handiwork, so men are without excuse altogether, without any defense or justification. This to me is the big lie. I believe they've covered the truth about our earth so that men will not see the truth. They will buy this alien lie. Because where do aliens come from? Oh, a galaxy far, far away. Star Wars. Far, far away. They're always far, far away. Anything but right in our own backyard. That's Satan's deception. They're trying to hide the truth from us about the enclosed system God made. But we're in the Great Awakening. Right now, even people, natural people, are calling this time in our history the Great Awakening. People are getting their eyes open to the truth and the deception that's gone on for a long time. All right, a couple more scriptures here. 2 Timothy 3. This is 3:1. But understand this, that in the last days will come certain perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant, contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. Does that sound like our today? They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. This is why we're in civil war. And although they hold a form of piety, true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Turn away from them. For among them are those who worm their way into homes and captivate silly and weak-natured and spiritually dwarfed women, loaded down with the burden of their sins and easily swayed and led away by various evil desires and seductive impulses. Sounds like, you know, what happened right after the inauguration with that women's march. These weak women will listen to anybody who will teach them. They are forever inquiring and getting information, but are never able to arrive at a recognition and knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres were hostile to and resisted Moses, so these men also are hostile to and oppose the truth. I looked at some hieroglyphics in Egypt, and they show these giants in all their hieroglyphics. But what was really amazing, one of them looked just like the demon with the big old slanty eyes and the big, yeah. They have deprived and distorted minds and are reprobate and counterfeit and to be rejected as far as the faith is concerned. They will not go very far, for their rash folly will become obvious to everybody. See, I'm praying, Lord, let truth and justice ring throughout the land. Let all the world see and know the truth. But they will not get very far, for their rash folly will become obvious to everybody, as was that of those magicians mentioned. Now you have closely observed and diligently followed my teaching, conduct, purpose in life, faith, patience, love, steadfastness, persecutions, sufferings, such as occurred to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Indeed, all who delight in piety and are determined to live a devoted and godly life in Christ Jesus will meet with persecution, will be made to suffer because of their religious stand. We're going to have to take a stand. This is a new thing for the church, to have to take a stand. Afraid they might be mocked or made fun of. Well, you may be. But this is a time for not our voices to be silent, while many are on the front lines fighting at this very moment for our very lives. Our president's laid his whole life down. He's sacrificed himself for this country and these people. And everything he does, you can tell what he does. It's for the people. So we're going to have to be bold, and we're going to have to start saying some things about some things and not just letting things slide so we don't hurt anybody's feelings. I don't care about your feelings. I care about you not going to hell. Now, I believe you're to be led by the Spirit. You can't just go blasting everybody. But I believe the Lord will give us opportunities if we will be in this kind of mode. The wicked men and imposters will go on from bad or worse, deceiving and leading astray others and being deceived and led astray themselves. Would they be more offended if you let them go to hell? But as for you, continue to hold to the things that you have learned and of which you are convinced, knowing from whom you learned them, and how from your childhood you have had a knowledge of and seen and been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you and give you the understanding for salvation, which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, through the leaning of the entire human personality on God in Christ Jesus, and absolute trust and confidence in power, wisdom, and goodness. If it was good for Timothy and what he was going through and the persecution of his days, he even spent some time in jail, if it was good enough for him, it's good enough for us to see us through these times that we live in. Every scripture is God-breathed. I don't care what it's talking about in the Bible. It's relevant. If it's God's word, I want to know it. It's the truth. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by inspiration, and profitable for it, profitable. All of it's profitable for instruction, reproof, conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Where did Paul get all this inspiration? Out of the Old Covenant. Come on. This is all he knew. I'll rip somebody up right there. Let's see. Okay. Now, I'll keep on going. Just a few more verses. I charge you in the presence of God and the Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by in the light of his coming and his kingdom, Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable. Whether it is convenient or inconvenient. We need to quit being politically correct, religiously correct, or whatever you want to call it. That's what we've been. We sit over there and keep our mouth shut and never say anything. Just let them go to hell. That's our fault. We're wrong to do that. They think you're not fine. You least told them. And if they walk away from you and don't ever see you again, then they weren't a friend anyway. Whether it is welcome or unwelcome, you as preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. Everybody we meet on the street is a potential person that's going to hell. We got to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit to bring people out of darkness. It's happening. The spirit of patriotism, just through the QAnon post, is just becoming staggering. People are standing up and they're feeling like, we have hope. We have a chance. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate endure sound and wholesome instruction, but have ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying. These days of kumbaya, I'm telling you, this crap, these days are over. Come to church, just do something. Just do something for me. I prayed 2 weeks ago and I still hadn't seen anything. This is how we live. It's like we come to church and it's like the convenience store. If the preacher don't get it right, let's just tar and feather them and run them out of town. They must not be a God. This is the churches I've been in, I'm sorry. For the most part. They will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number. I don't like her. She makes me accountable. I want one of those that I get dessert every week. I don't like meat. I don't like broccoli. Chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold. And will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions like, oh, well, Jesus is an alien. Who knew? They're going to believe it. That's the sad part about it. Okay. We're going to get into looking at what God has to say about our earth. Now, I did copy off a couple of things for y'all here. Would you pass it on to Danny? Here's a couple more. And I'll explain them as I get to them. Zechariah 1:11. Zechariah's right before Malachi. 1:11. And the men and the horses answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, patrolling it, and behold, all the earth sits at rest in peaceful security. Now, we've been told that it's spinning at, I forget how many miles an hour that supposedly the earth is spinning. I have it here somewhere. I think the King James might say, the earth sitteth and is at rest. Okay. All right, now Psalms 93. Verse 1. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is robed. He has girded himself with strength and power. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. All right, Job 38. That I gave you, the big handout, is Hebrew cosmology. Let's pay attention to me, so we'll read that in a minute. Let's see, Job 38:12. This is Job, or God talking to Job. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? This is Job 38:12. So that light may get hold of the corners of the earth. A globe doesn't have corners. The corners of the earth and shake the wickedness of night out of it. It is changed like clay into which a seal is pressed, and things stand out like a many-colored garment. Now I want you to, the one page that I gave you, this is what it's talking about when you do the Hebrew search. These are signet rings on clay, and it shows how God pressed out the earth, and when he pulled it back, the raised places, that's what it's saying here in Job. Right here, furthermore, the word for seal in the original Hebrew is chalcem, and means a signature ring, seal or signet. Whatever that lexicon defines it as, a seal or a seal ring, and these seal rings were used to mash a piece of clay or wax flat with distinct features standing out to identify the sender. Thus in Job 38:14, God gave the description to Job of how he formed, shaped the earth during creation. God said the earth was changed as a lump of clay under a signet ring. That is a word picture that illustrates the earth being pressed down flat with the contours of the ring standing out, even the detail of an upturned edge as a border. Okay. Y'all both seen this map, but based on what the Lord spoke to me about the New Jerusalem being four square, this right here is Antarctica, the ice ring. But even the ones that did, like the Gleason map and this map, and even those during the Antarctic exploration with Admiral Byrd, will tell you there was land beyond the ice wall. Some of them were very fertile lands. There were even pools that were not even frozen over. But these, for some reason, God put a barrier there. He can do whatever he wants. You see the four corners, you see the angels holding. They say Antarctica is the windiest place on earth, so they're holding back the winds, these angels. And there's places in Scripture where it talks about these angels and the four winds, okay? What's cool about it, it shows these people holding on to a globe floating through the air with all their might, trying to hold on to the globe without falling off. But anyway, all down here, there's Scriptures all through this. This man, Ferguson was his name, Professor Orlando Ferguson, this map was adapted, I think it's 1893. I have another big one downstairs that is the Gleason map, and Gleason says, it's a flat map, and he says, it is as is. Now, people have taken that Gleason map and wrapped it around a globe, but on it he says, as is. And he says beyond that ice barrier, they found land. Okay. All right. Revelation 20. The New Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven, and it's going to rest. It's going to rest on top. Psalms 120, I think it is. Let me look. Now, it's not going to fill the whole earth. It's going to be over Jerusalem. It's going to be over Israel. Okay, let me look at that psalm right quick. I think it's 122. Let Whoops. Okay. Psalms 122. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which is built as a city that is compacted together. So my understanding of this is that it compacts together. When it comes down out of heaven, it will compact with the present Jerusalem where Jesus will rule and reign for 1,000 years. It'll rest on top. In fact, here's a picture right here. This was done by a Jewish artist. You can see the, said even the rabbis, all the rabbis over there know about, they call it Upper Jerusalem. And they talk about it all the time, that it's hovering. It's waiting to come down. It's the bride's wife. In Revelation, it talks about it. It's waiting to come down and rest over. Because, see, we'll be like Jesus. We'll have these body like him. And we will rule and reign with him. But there'll still be natural people on the earth. We'll be for 1,000 years. They will get married, have babies. Do natural things, okay? All right, it says, built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed, and as a testimony for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. See, the tribes go up. For there the thrones of judgment are set, the thrones of the house of David. We can see the thrones when you read about Revelation. There's several places where you can see the 24 elders. You know, okay, we'll get to those. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you, the holy city. There's never going to be peace in Jerusalem until this time. It's called the 1,000-year reign of peace. Okay? This is what it's talking about. Not, well, we better pray for Jerusalem. There'll be peace there. No, that's not what it's talking about. May peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek, inquire for, and require your good. What's it talking about? Your kingdom come. This is what it's talking about. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It will compact together with this earth. A sphere does not fit that. That's what the Holy Spirit quickened to me. He said, the four square city fits a square earth. Not a globe. Okay. All right. Let's keep going. Revelation 20 is where we were heading until I got off there. I asked the Lord to lead me in this today because, like I said, this is kind of new territory for me. All right. This is verse 9. And they swarmed, this is the after the 1,000-year reign, Satan is loose for a time, and this is when the Gog-Magog war, the one that's in Ezekiel 38, 39, around in there, this is when this is happening. And they swarmed up over the broad plain of the earth and encircled the fortress camp of God's people, the saints, and the beloved city, but fire descended from heaven and consumed them. Now, the breadth means platos, platos, or platus. A platos flat, spreads out flat, called it the plain of the earth, okay? This is what convinced me. It wasn't what anybody said that I even heard. It was this very thing right here that convinced me. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new sky, heaven and a new earth. For the former sky and the former earth had passed away, vanished, and there no longer existed any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, all arrayed like a bride, beautified and adorned for her husband. And I heard a mighty voice from the throne, and I perceived its distinct words saying, see, the abode of God is with men, and he will live and camp tent among them, and they shall be his people, and God shall personally be with them and be their God. What the Spirit said to me was, that square. My city's square. He didn't make a square or a round earth. He made a square. That's what that map portrays. I'm sure what people see sometimes is the dome to make it look like there is a curvature. You know, that's obvious. Why would a rainbow, if there's waters above and God sits on the circle of the earth, and it's coming through that dome, there's your prism. Isn't that what it is, how a prism works? And it's always in an arc, have you ever noticed? You don't see any straight. It's always an arc. Okay. All right, Psalms 122, just read that to you. Matthew 24, 27. And here's something else the Lord showed me. As I was studying this, he gave me this scripture, Matthew 24, 27. For just as the lightning flashes from the east and shines and is seen as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, there's not going to be any secret comings. They're going to see him. But he'll come from the east to the west. So everybody's going to be able to see him from the east to the west. Okay? No secret rapture. Every eye will see him. Okay, Revelation 1:7. We're going all over the place today. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall gaze upon him and beat their breasts and mourn and lament over him. Even so must it be. Amen. So we don't have to be concerned about those in Australia. Because if they were on the globe, they're down there. That's why it's down under. Sounds like a plateau to me. They think Job was probably the first book in the Bible that was written. If it's really so, I don't know. But it's old. It's one of the oldest books. Let's look at a few scriptures there. There's a lot of good stuff in Job. Some of the best confessing scriptures are in Job. This is Job 38, 1 through 4. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now your loins like a man, and I will demand of you, and you declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare to me if you have and know understanding." Okay, he's talking about laying the foundation. Sounds like laying a floor, doesn't it? Foundation of the earth. All right, now 13. Whether it be for correction for his earth, or for his mercy and loving kindness, he causes it to come. And I think I'm reading the wrong thing. Just a minute. Yeah, I put it there. Oh, I'm reading the wrong thing. Sorry. So that light may get hold of the corners of the earth and shake the wickedness of night out of it. Looks like to me, doesn't it sound like a sheet? You're going, yeah, that's what I thought when I read it. It is changed like clay into which a seal is pressed, and things stand out like a many-colored garment. That's the picture that I showed you. Okay. Isaiah 40. If you'll notice in that single sheet, it talks to you about the difference between a ball and a circle. It is God who sits above the earth, the horizon of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It is he who stretches out the heavens like curtains and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Sound like a globe to me. Sounds like he's sitting up there and he's just looking down there, looking at what we're doing. It says he sits on the circle of the earth. That word circle means compass. You know what a compass does? It draws a circle. There's another place, I don't know if I have that in the scriptures, where it says earth is his footstool. So his throne isn't that far off, is it? Not that far off. Okay. Isaiah 22:18. He will surely roll up in a bundle and toss you like a ball into a large country. There you will die, and there you will be your splendid chariots, you disgrace to your master's house. Just showing you the difference between circle and ball. Okay. I forgot some here. Job 9. As you see in that cosmology, I had a picture. Let me see if I can find this other picture. Well, I don't see it. I had another picture. Oh, there it is. This one, I couldn't keep it from cutting off, so this is the also one of the pictures you see there. We're fixing to read about the columns of the earth, the church, that the earth is on pillars. Okay, this is Job 9:16. If I called and he answered me, yet would I not believe that, I'm sorry, that's the wrong scripture, 9:16. I don't know where. Hold on. Well, we'll go on. Psalm 75:3. It may be on this sheet I gave you. All these scriptures are on that sheet that I gave you. Okay. 70 or most of them. 75:3. When the earth totters and all the inhabitants of it, it is I who will poise and keep steady its pillars. Okay.
Job verse 9, verse 6, not 16.
Okay. Well, let me go back there then. 9:6. Okay. Who shakes the earth out of its place and the pillars of it tremble? Okay. See if there's any more. It's pretty cool, some of these pictures. This is the one. All right, we'll just look at these while we're here. All right, let's look at Genesis 1:7. We're going to look at the waters above. This is all on your sheet that I'm looking at. And God made the firmament and separated the waters which were under the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. Let's see if there's any more in Genesis on here. The waters below, 1:7 and verse 9. And God said that the waters under the heavens be collected into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Okay, that's the waters above and the waters below. All right, Psalms 104:3, the waters above. Who makes winds as messengers fling? That's wrong. 104:3 is what I got here. Oh, who lays the beams of the upper room of his people in the waters? Who makes the clouds his chariot? Who walks on the wings of the wind? Okay, 148:4, Psalms 148:4. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. The reason they put that there is there are some, even Christian scientists, that think after the flood, the windows of heaven were open and all the water that was above the firmament was emptied onto the earth and there's no more water there. But, you know, that's what David said about the waters. There's still waters there. They didn't all run out. Okay, let's look at the firmament. This is Genesis 1:6. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters below from the waters above. And God made the firmament and separated the waters which were under the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. He didn't call it outer space. There is no outer space. Do you ever wonder why the astronauts practiced underwater? If they ever reached the firmament and got the firmament open, they'd know how to maneuver. Even in the movies, they showed them practicing underwater with divers. Go watch it. What? Thank you, Jesus. All right, 14 and 19, 14 through 19. Genesis 1, 4. That didn't really go. It's saying, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs and tokens season for days, seasons, and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give the light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light, the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. He also made the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. So we don't see here, and you're not going to really find it unless it's a later translation that adds it, that there's any other constellations or any planets or anything like that. There is reference to what they call the wandering stars. And they say that's what, occasionally when you glimpse something out there, that's what it is. It's called in the scripture wandering stars, okay? All right. All right, the circle of the earth. Let's look at Daniel 4:10. We looked at Isaiah 40:22. Daniel 4:10. The visions of my head on my bed were these. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and its height reached to the heavens, and the sight of it reached the end of the whole earth. This proves flat earth. Okay, let's look at the sun. How the sun moves. Ecclesiastes 1:5. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. Then it talks about the wind. The wind goes to the south and circles about to the north. It circles and circles about continually. And on its circuit, the wind returns again. So it shows that the sun, well, we're going to read another scripture, that the wind and the sun are on circuits. How God set them in place to operate. Okay, Psalms 19. Verse 6. Well, let's just read the start at 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows and proclaims his handiwork. That's why they're trying to hide the handiwork of God. Cover it up. make up lies to have us believe something else. Day after day pours forth speech, and night after night shows forth knowledge. There is no speech nor spoken word from the stars. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice is evident. They're looking at stars all the time, thinking it's a planet full of extraterrestrials. Yet their voice and evidence goes out through all the earth. Their sayings to the ends of the world, of the heavens, has God made a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and it rejoices as a strong man to run his course. It goes forth in from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the ends of it, and nothing is hidden from the heat of it. So it's on a circuit. It says nobody on the earth doesn't get part of it on the circuit. Okay, Joshua 10:13. This is a good one. Verse 10:12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord on the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, and he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, be silent and stand still at Gibeon, and you moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the nation took vengeance upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. You notice it didn't say he spoke to the earth and it quit spinning, did he? Okay, let's look at the stars. Isaiah 34:4. And the host of the heavens shall be dissolved and crumble away, and the skies shall be rolled together like a scroll. And their hosts, the stars, and the planets have been added there, and their hosts shall drop like a faded leaf from the vine and like a withered fig tree from the fig tree. When Jesus comes, that firmament's going to break apart. It says these hailstones are going to fall. It's going to fall on men. And it says there that the stars are going to fall like figs from a tree. Okay. You still with me? Matthew 24:29. It's just what I was telling you about. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not shed its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Okay, Revelation 6. Verse 13. And the stars of the sky drop to the earth like a fig tree shedding its unripe fruit out of season when shaken by a strong wind. And the sky rolled up like a scroll and vanished, and every mountain and island were dislodged from its place. Okay, did we miss anything on that sheet? Okay, we're going to look at the immovable earth. 1 Chronicles 16. Tremble and reverently fear before him all the earth's peoples. The world also shall be established so it cannot be moved. Okay, I thought, did we do Psalm 93:1? Did we read Psalms 93:1? Okay. And we read Psalms 104. Did we do 5? Let me look at it. It's Psalms 104:5. It says, "You laid the foundations of the earth, but it should not be moved forever." Okay. All right, the foundations of the earth. We'll look at that. 1 Samuel 2:9. He will guard the feet of his holy ones, is what that says. Not sure. I don't know what King James says. Job 38:4. Like I said, you can take these home and look them up for yourself. He's asking Job, we read this a while ago, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare to me if you have no understanding." Okay, Psalm 75:3. We might have done that one too, but we'll look at it again. 75:3. "When the earth totters and all the inhabitants of it is I who will poise and keep steady its pillars." All right, there's two here about the underworld, which is if in your picture, it shows. See, it shows right on this one. You can see where it says Sheol, because these are the pillars. And that's where Jesus ascended, the heart of the earth there. I mean, if you look at the overall spectrum, it kind of looks like a globe, doesn't it? But all this blue is water. Okay. All right, Philippians 2, 10 and 11. "And in, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth." Okay. In Revelation, 11 also, "And every tongue confess, acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Then Revelation 5. Verse 3. "And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or take a look at its contents." Okay, 13. "And I heard every created thing in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in it crying out together to him who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb, be ascribed the blessing and the honor and the majesty and the power forever and ever." Okay. Did we look at Isaiah 22:18? Yes. Okay. All right, Isaiah 40:22, where it says circle there, it's that word means compass. Okay, now look at Proverbs 8. Can you tell me how long I've gone? Okay. Proverbs 8:26. "While as yet he had not made the land or the fields or the first of the dust of the earth." I wish he hadn't made the dust. when he prepared the heavens. Our wisdom was there when he drew a circle upon the face of the deep and stretched out the firmament over it. Okay. Complete Jewish says, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew the horizon's circle on the deep. I believe there the scripture is referring to where the firmament dome comes down and meets the earth just beyond the ice wall we call Antarctica. There's some pictures here I have of. This photo was taken in 1920. This man took a picture of the firmament where it meets the, look at these. Okay. So much I've got here. Still have quite a bit to go, but I think we'll just stop there today, right there.